KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, PSP is found in commercial shellfish beds in Kachemak Bay. A fisherman is going to prison for the death of one of his divers, and soon there'll be enough crawdaddies to have a beach party. A sad, sad invasive species beach party. All coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
A commercial fisherman found guilty of criminally negligent homicide in the death of a Kansas diver who drowned while harvesting sea cucumbers was sentenced to 3 years in prison. The Ketchikan Daily News reports a judge on Monday suspended 2 years of the sentence for 33-year-old Joshua Wodiga of Ketchikan. A jury in January convicted him on the lesser charge but found him not guilty of manslaughter. Prosecutors argued that Wodiga's negligence in maintaining an air compressor and air filter led to the death of 32-year-old Levi Adams of Leawood, Kansas. He died of carbon monoxide poisoning and drowning while he and Wodiga were diving in October 2013 in waters off of Mountain Point. Wodiga's public defender, Mark Osterman, said he plans to appeal the sentence. The Deck Boss blog reported last week the three fishermen who were caught fishing in closed waters in February have pleaded guilty and were forced to forfeit hundreds of thousands of pounds of cod to the state. The three vessels were the 296-foot Katie Ann, operated by Daniel Skog of Oregon, the 102-foot Muir Milach, operated by David Wilmore of Washington, and the 88-foot Aleutian Challenger, operated by Michael Murdoch of Washington. An Alaska Wildlife Trooper investigation revealed the three vessels made multiple tows with their trawls through state waters in violation of state regulations. Skog pleaded guilty to 3 counts of commercial fishing in closed waters with a $6,000 fine and forfeiture of nearly 7,000 pounds of cod. Wilmore pleaded guilty to 1 count of commercial fishing in closed waters with a fine of $3,000 and forfeiture of 248,000 pounds of cod. Murdoch pleaded guilty to 1 count of commercial fishing in closed waters with the $3,000 fine and the forfeiture of 138,767 pounds of cod. The approximate value of all that fish among the three, $106,326. The State Department of Environmental Conservation ordered the closure of a commercial shellfish harvester's operation on the east side of Kachemak Bay last Friday. George Scanlon, shellfish permit coordinator with the DEC, says routine tests revealed levels of parasitic shellfish toxin 3 times higher than the acceptable threshold.
When we got those results, we informed the operators over there that the area will be closed to further harvesting until we follow through and continue to test the products to see if the toxin may subside.
The regulatory limit for toxin levels is 80 micrograms of toxin per 100 grams of shellfish. The closure is limited to just one oyster farm in Halibut Cove. Shellfish harvested by farms in Jackaloff Bay, Peterson Bay, and Bear Cove did not have the same elevated levels of toxin. Scanlon says the amount of toxin in the Halibut Cove shellfish is higher than anything he's ever seen in his 10 years with the DEC.
Apparently, this year has been a pretty bad year for the Pacific West Coast in general, you know, having high levels of these harmful algal bloom seen down in California coast and even moving up to Washington and even in the Canadian waters, you know, next to us.
Harmful algal blooms are typically the source of paralytic shellfish toxin. The toxins are absorbed into the shellfish system when they feed. Scanlon says DEC will continue testing for the toxins to make sure contaminated shellfish do not make it to market, but eventually he expects the toxin levels to drop to normal.
These algae tends to, you know, die off or move away from the area, and we should be able to have clean results and be able to open this particular area at Halibut Cove.
Scanlon worries more about recreationally harvested shellfish. Shellfish harvested in the wild are not tested by DEC, so chances are much greater that they will have high toxin levels. He says the risk is too great, and he advises the public not to eat wild shellfish at all.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Crayfish, crawfish, crawdads, crawdaddies. These are all names for an invasive freshwater species that appears to have flourished this summer in one Kodiak Island river. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District Project Coordinator Blythe Brown says they've caught a lot of crayfish this year compared to the roughly one per year they've found in the past. They went into the project last year hoping to find out whether crayfish were breeding, and this year they did a little bit of experimenting with traps.
The crawdad that was found last fall was quite large, so we thought, well, maybe our traps, the opening's not large enough, so we enlarged the trap. Talked to other people from other places that had grown up with crawdads, and they said, well, try a oily, stinky fish or something, some bait that they might like better. So we tried herring this year, and it worked.
Alex Hughes is a fish and game technician who volunteers with KSWCD.
I've caught crayfish my whole life. I grew up in the Midwest, and that was kind of the thing. We just go out and play in the river behind the house and catch frogs and crawdads and snakes or whatever that way. So it's kind of just fun. I like to do it for the fun factor.
He says based on their studies at the Buskin River, crayfish are successfully breeding.
I've caught a couple of them just visually, flipping rocks and looking through the river, particularly up near the weir, near the lake. Found a couple there. I just put out traps to try to catch some more. It's been an ongoing issue for the past several years, and the technicians that were working on the project over the summer, I think they caught a total of 18 for the summer, and now we're trying to revive the project a little bit in the fall and catch what we can.
Hughes says crayfish are originally from the Pacific Northwest, and as with many invasive species, it's anyone's guess how they got to Kodiak.
I've seen crawdad used for fishing bait before in a lot of areas, a lot of times for largemouth bass or sometimes panfish even. I suspect that somebody brought them for that reason, but nobody really knows the answer. It could have been a pet. It could have been used as a potential fishing bait. They don't really know how they got in the system. They just know that they're there now.
He says he's concerned that if the crayfish population continues to flourish, it could spread from the Buskin River into other systems.
We don't really know the implications of that, what that'll mean to juvenile salmon that are growing or the eggs that are buried within the sediments of the river. Our worry is that the crayfish could start to sort of uncover those eggs and eat them. So we're trying to solve this issue before it expands into something that's more difficult to control.
KSWCD asks that if you spot any crayfish, that you remove them from the body of water if possible and report the sighting. You can do that by calling 486-5574. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
NOAA Fisheries is seeking letters of public support for nominees for two presidential appointments to serve as U.S. commissioners to the International Pacific Halibut Commission. Terms expire for the current commissioners on December 31st. Of the two appointees, one must be a resident of Alaska. The other needs to be from out of state. You might recognize some of the nominees: Don Lane, Hunter Harrison, Mann Dempster, Doug Vincent Lang, Carl Johnstone, Richard Yamada, Bob King, Stephanie Madsen, Linda Benkin, and Jeff Kaufman. Rob Edwardson and Dan Hull are nominated as alternates. The lone non-Alaskan on the list is Bob Alverson. Public comments on any of these nominees to the IPHC will be accepted until October 23rd, You can send them to IPHC2015comments@noaa.gov. The Monterey Bay Fisheries Trust bought $1 million worth of groundfish quota from the nonprofit Nature Conservancy, which it plans to use to benefit the area's fishermen. Under current news reports, the $1 million buys 4.2 million pounds of annual quota. The trust plans to retain ownership of the quota, but will lease the fishing rights to fishermen in the Monterey, Moss Landing, and Santa Cruz Harbors area, while working to improve the economic and environmental performance of the fishery.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Though they are not a commercial species, starfish might be an indicator species as to the health of the oceans. Sea stars from Mexico to Alaska have been hammered by a wasting disease that causes their arms to melt and fall off. But as John Ryan reports from KUCB in Unalaska, sea stars in the Aleutian Islands have not yet been affected.
Sea star wasting disease has turned stars into goo as far north as Alaska's Kenai Peninsula. Researchers believe a virus called adensovirus is behind it. To learn more, they've come out to one of the last starfish strongholds, the Aleutian Islands. Ian Hewson is a microbiology professor at Cornell University. I caught up with him on a beach in Unalaska.
It is definitely the most geographically extensive marine disease ever seen. So it's huge. It's wiped out millions and millions of sea stars. In some cases, up to 95% of the sea stars are gone. Completely changed the coastal ecosystem structure. But fortunately, it hasn't been out here yet.
With help from local divers, Hewson has found healthy sea stars from several bays around Unalaska. Divers brought up sun stars, mottled stars, and other species from as deep as 130 feet underwater. Hewson is shipping the healthy invertebrates back to his lab in New York now. He says the long trip to the Aleutians and the hassle of shipping water bags with live sea stars across the continent is worth it to find out what makes this disease tick.
This is the only population that's left, pretty much, that is unexposed.
Brenda Kohner with the University of Alaska Fairbanks reports a couple of sunflower stars found off Adak in the far western Aleutians this summer did have the disease, but sunflower stars aren't native out there. Kohner thinks they may have arrived in the ballast water of a big ship. None of the hundreds of native sea stars spotted off Adak showed signs of the disease. Ian Hewson says citizen scientists have played a big role in keeping tabs on this underwater outbreak.
And so if you see, diseased sea stars, by all means, take a photograph of it.
And send that photo to a site like seastarwasting.org.
And then that will help us a lot in figuring out, when it actually hits the site. Hopefully it won't hit for a while, but from what we know about this disease, it will probably sweep through here at some stage in the future.
Brenda Kohner with UAF says the virus does better in warmer water, but so little is known about the disease that it's hard to predict when or where it'll stop. In Unalaska, I'm John Ryan.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KBBI's Quentin Chandler in Homer, the Deck Boss blog, KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, and KUCB's John Ryan in Unalaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.